there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, Jaya.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I'm in pain of seeing the state of the public space completely spammed. Completely spammed by partisan bullshit. I've been saying it for a couple of days since this whole Iran war started. Wow. We've been deprived of any source of actual information, and we are in a highly bloodthirsty partisan shit show. And Fadam was saying on the Discord, Elon's censorship operation has been a complete success. Imagine if leftist owners were just banning our the opponents of Israel. It wouldn't work like spam does. Yeah, I do believe that this describes the situation we're in. Absolutely well seen by Fadam. And Fadam had been actually predicting this at the moment where Elon bought Twitter. He's been talking about this. Basically, we are headed toward, instead of censorship, outflowing of spam and crap, so much so that you can't even trust your own side. Suleiman, what's his name here? I'm gonna try to find. Suleiman Ahmed is an example of these people who have acquired a big audience. You know, he was the guy hosting big Twitter spaces, Suleiman Ahmed, and being anti-Israeli war in his commentary. And yet, he keeps churning out false videos. This is a guy that presents himself as a journalist, as a kind of commentator, philosopher of the public space. Complete crap, systematically crap. And yes, Ryan Dawson, Stephen Robinson had been saying that is the strategy going forward. The putting forward of unreliable voices, kooks, that will adopt your view, but that will defend it so poorly, but they will be so good at gathering so much more views than you, that intelligence and truth cannot make it true. Now, this is what we're faced with. So this guy, I mean, more than once a day, okay, I can affirm it. Whenever I see his tweets, I'm like, I would love to retweet this in principle, but it's probably false. And now I've noticed that every day this guy publishes false videos. Breaking, this is crazy. Tel Aviv looks like an absolute horror show right now. So you would think, oh wow, Tel Aviv has been struck hard. Fire everywhere. Firemen in distress. Wow. Iran is hitting hard. But then Grok, there's always someone, and I actually, people think it's cringe to ask Grok, but no, I think it's absolutely legitimate to ask Grok, is this video real, Grok? No, this video isn't recent footage from Tel Aviv tonight. It shows Israeli firefighters battling a severe building fire at night with hoses and intense flames. No news reports match this exact interior scene. So it's probably a video from the past that was just recycled here. Sulaiman Ahmed has been doing this every day. False missiles, old videos, all traceable to 5-10 years ago, nothing to do with the current Iran conflict, but supposedly showing us a victory, a coming victory of Iran. So it's very dangerous right now to go around social media, and some of these videos are shared on my Discord. And I'm like, what do I do? Those are my own users falling for. And I know, you know, my crowd tends to be high intelligence. But my own users are falling for this false discourse that Iran is replying strong. I still don't know. I still don't know whether a single missile made it out of Iran. I got other videos. Sky above Tel Aviv tonight. So very often you'll see these reply guys, like unknown out there Twitter accounts that appear to have been built for the purpose of spamming. So how do I know that this is an actual filming of Iranian missiles above Tel Aviv? I don't know. And I've seen videos like this from years ago, so I wouldn't be surprised that this video is from years ago. I have no way to check. Again, we are always left to ask Grok, is there a trace of this in history before, or is that new from tonight? Now, this guy seems to be showing some missile impacts. Apparently, missile impact in video captures the moment an Iranian missile strikes Netanya, north of Tel Aviv, without interception, as Palestinians watching from a distance count down the final seconds before impact. I don't know. Is that recent? Here we have... some salvos of missile. Very hard to tell for me. I've seen these salvos before. Is it from today for real? Very hard to tell. So I don't know what to tell you guys. LDR says, Asmongold is on the wrong side of this war. Crazy to counter signal Nick. That typically doesn't end well. I don't know what's Asmongold's position. Has he sided with the warmongers? DK Shadow says, Grok literally has a photographic memory. Absolutely. Absolutely. Shab Shab says, this is a non-problem if you follow the sound practice. Okay, I won't read the rest. But yeah, I mean, it's almost impossible to block the flow of lies that are present on social media. I block people that are aggressive toward me, but blocking anyone who makes a false statement, that would take me my whole day. Just block, block, block. I try to do it when it's egregious. But I also want to stay connected to, okay, this is what the flow of information is. Whether it's all false, I still want to know it. Barnaby says, Asmongold thinks you're a coward if you don't want to die for Israel. Oh yeah, those are the things we see very often in the times of war. Appeal to cowardness. Oh, what is it? Are you scared? It's not so much about scare, it's just that I have morals. It's just that I don't want to crush human beings for no reason. I don't want to destroy entire civilizations. It's not about being a coward. It's never paid off before. It has never paid off before. Now you can see retroactively that basically this whole Iraq war was a positioning of American forces and Kurdish forces around Iran. So in the end, it's like, oh, well, we hung Saddam Hussein, okay? I don't particularly care. But we hung a guy because basically we wanted to set up a military invasion of his neighboring country. That's what we did. Or that's what America did. I don't feel part of it anymore, but that's what they did. How can you live with this? How can you live with the fact that you've killed hundreds of thousands of people for having a positioning against a country that had done nothing to you? And you keep talking about how, oh, well, it's they sponsor terrorism in the region, but that supposed terrorism was basically this country, Iran, trying to protect itself from having an entire army of the most powerful country in the world setting up in their backyard. And while you were setting up in their backyard for the purpose of invasion and for the purpose of regime change, you called all of their resisting action terrorism. That's what we're faced with. That's the big image. So that's a story that develops over 40, 50 years. Over 40, 50 years. This is an intergenerational time. That is, the people who are in power today aren't the exact people who were in power then. But the entire unfolding is Israel had issues with Iran for 50 years. They didn't like that Iran was a competing power, and they have led and controlled American governments repeatedly up to the point where there would be a setup such that the American army would be set up for invasion for Iran inside Iraq. And they would have their proxies like the Kurdish, the Kurds. But those proxies would never be enough. They weren't enough even to take over Iraq on their own. They have to have reinforcement from the American army. So one of the false narratives that we're seeing developed, which I've put on the thumbnail tonight, one of the false narratives is epic win. Trump just crushed the odds. American boots hitting Iranian soil, but there are zero Western forces. Ha ha! Iraqi Kurds are all in, pledging total loyalty to the USA. Boom! US! Yeah! This is straight up brilliant. Who's with me? Retweet if Trump is a genius. The delusion that the Kurds will. I mean, I'm so old. I've seen this joke before. I'm so old, I've went through a cycle of that exact lie before. Not before like last year, before like 10, 20 years ago. I've heard George Bush make the case, oh, we're going to offload the responsibility on the Kurds. They're going to handle a lot of the things locally. We'll be doing transfers of information and knowledge. The Kurds will handle Iraq for us. And it's like, I remember even in my commentary career, commenting that, hey, the Kurds appear to be specialized betrayer forces that are just cashing in on any American intervention and siding with whoever they need to side to get the advantages of the moment. But if you leave them alone, if you're not there with 100,000 American soldiers to impose something on them, they will just converge back toward local alliance. So it's like they are loyal to the extent that you create so much cash flow that Oh, yeah, okay, we're going to take your money. Oh, yeah, we're going to be your translators. Oh, yeah, we're going to be your fighters. But they have not been able to... They were a force already of opposition to Saddam Hussein even before the war began with George Bush. And they weren't able on their own to do anything to even the small regime of Saddam Hussein. Now you're going to sell to me... This is what these Patriot, Eagle Wings, USAF vet who believes in God, family, and country. These patriots are selling the idea that you can get an invasion of a 90 million population country by offloading onto a proxy force. The Kurds. Man. How do I intervene in this pile of shit to say, well, wait a minute here. Let's talk about the truth. GM for the People says, Kurds are a key ingredient in the poutine of this... In the poutine of this conflict. Oh, boy, oh, boy. How do I intervene in this pile of shit to say, hey, shut the fuck up, you guys, like Solomon Ahmed. Iran isn't winning. Iran isn't destroying Israel right now. Or the general that came out and said that Iran had destroyed all American bases. It's not happening. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Now you, Eagle Wings, it's also not happening that the Kurds are going to handle the war without any American forces and without any American loss. It's not happening. It didn't even happen in Iraq, whose total army force included basically 16 jeeps. It didn't happen in Iraq, and it's not going to happen with Iran. By the way, relying on proxy force, we've seen it in other wars. We've seen it in Ukraine. We've seen it on both sides in Ukraine. We've seen first the Western European countries counting on the Ukrainian constant feeding of the meat grinder by Ukrainian males. How's that working? They're not advancing. They're not gaining back the claimed territory that Zelensky says are conditional to the end of the war. They're not close to Crimea. Zelensky says Crimea must be reconquered. They're not even at scratching the surface of DPR and LPR. So when you deal with a proxy force, a phenomenon starts, and it's the phenomenon of wasted money. And I'm starting to see the pattern here across Ukraine, Iraq, Iran. We have this delusion that we can just pour money onto one side of a conflict. And we're going to therefore fight the other side. But the reality is the people who drain money from us, they are essentially engaged in a displayed fight. Zelensky is not engaged in a real war. Zelensky is engaged in an appearance war. As long as he can drain money, he needs to keep the war going. So what does he do? Well, he sends soldiers to the front. They get killed by the Russian forces that are technologically superior. So these people end up specializing in maintaining the state of war while also not winning. So we do it with Ukraine. Now, the whole idea isn't even to win the war. The whole idea is let's take the money from the Western world and move it to a place where there's less scrutiny. And I'm sure that politicians get paybacks of all kind. FTX and Sam, what was his name? Sam, not Bank, Fred Bank? Sam that was the leader of FTX. He was specializing in basically American government gives money to Zelensky. Zelensky gives transfers it into Bitcoin onto FTX. And then that trickles back Bankman-Fried. Sam Bankman-Fried. That was his name. So the money goes to Ukraine. Ukraine fakes the continuation of the war. Meanwhile, they take all of this money. They buy a couple of missiles to argue that, okay, we do have material now. But they take most of the money, they buy Bitcoin with it, on the platform of Sam Bankman-Fried, FTX. And what does Sam Bankman-Fried do? He takes that money and he gives it so much to the very politicians that have sent this money in Ukraine, that at some point people start being worried, hey, there's no more money in FTX. What the fuck is happening? So you have the money flow there. You had the full money flow. Now, Sam Bankman-Fried ended up in jail for, I'm not even sure he's in jail for the right reason. I believe the big fraud was probably this circular political reinforcement loop. We send the money of the people to Ukraine. Ukraine buys Bitcoin. I have Bitcoin. I'm giving these Bitcoins to the politicians, so much so that I can't even honor my withdrawal request at FTX. Now, I don't even know if he was able to honor them, but he ended up in jail because people then attacked his FTX system. Basically a bunch of corporate vultures that did that and took over FTX. Whether he's in jail for the right reason or not, I think definitely he was part of a scam bringing back that money, into the American political system. Now, that was Ukraine. The same thing is true back in the 90s on the funding of Osama bin Laden. Literally, it goes back to this. It goes as far as this. What did we do with Osama bin Laden? Well, there were a couple of conflicts and a triangular conflict over Afghanistan that had been historical that had been lasting a decade, involving some conflict between Russia, the domination of Russia over Afghanistan, America over Afghanistan. So there was kind of a triangle of interest, Russia, America, and maybe even China. In a contest over Afghanistan. We ended up funding Osama bin Laden via the CIA networks. And eventually, the 9/11 terrorist attacks occurred, and they were pinned on Osama bin Laden. I personally, I'm still uncertain about the degree to which Osama bin Laden was actually involved in 9/11, like as a planner of it. I know it got stick onto him. And I know eventually he seems to have written maybe an article where he claims the responsibility. But I'm still unsure because sometimes these guys can claim responsibility, but they may not be responsible. They may just be trolling, basically. They may just be saying, well, I agree with what was done. I9 sends $50. Well, thank you so much for the generous support. He says, good to see you are still around, JF. I used to watch your show just every day back in the public space days. Just wanted to ask, what's the cost of a signed copy of your book? Well, I only sell signed copies of the book at the date of founding. So I made a restricted offer of 125 copies of the Revolutionary Phenotype that are signed, and I will never sign more. So they are numbered. You have one if you were there at the beginning. Now, I did start taking money from people who want to reserve their place for the moral signal, and that's $75 USD. I have 13, 15 people who have reserved their numbered copy of the moral signal. That being said, this comes with a warning. If you want to buy the moral signal in advance, you have to be okay with the fact that I cannot promise when it will be written, because I'm already drifting toward another hobby, which is the writing of white people food. And I do think that white people food will be ready for publication much before the moral signal. I just don't feel, I'm not feeling in the mood of finishing the moral signal. It's just, there's just too much. I want to get to it in my life, but you could pay for it $75 and you wouldn't know if it's in 10 years from now. Now, in exchange, I have also promised that I can reimburse that $75 if your microphone, oh no, that's probably a fake warning, because I do think my microphone is working. So yeah, only if you want, but basically, if you are a fan of my books, just wait for White People Food, which I hope will come in the fall. I have a big state of advancement on it. And that is the next release to check. The moral signal, it will come in years until I have to find the moment to write this. Another point of deception, of ongoing deception, is betting markets. It's now been way too common that we have betting markets who aren't honoring the people who won the bet. Kalshi refuses to pay winnings on $54 million trade related to Kameny's death, drawing user fury. So basically, they allowed a bet on their site that was saying, I bet that Kameny will be killed by this date. Now, that's a risky bet, let me tell you. 1 month ago, I wouldn't have bet money on this. That was a risky bet, so much so that if you were betting something like $50, I think you could get something like $800. So people won. People won on their bet. But what does Kalshi do? They say, oh, well, this bet was invalid because it's a bet on the death of someone and we can't allow this. Well, it's like, okay, you can have rules about which bets you can't allow on your site, but you shouldn't be accepting money. You shouldn't be accepting money that you've let this bet occur on your site. You hosted it. You've accepted all of these bets. Now you are contractually bound. You cannot, after the fact that you lost the bet, you cannot decide that you're not going to pay for it. So extremely grave unethical behavior in those betting markets. Rin, job, best job. Let's see the super chat.
Regarding the Shroud of Turin, there was post-mortem blood by where the spear stabbed him in his side and pre-mortem blood everywhere else. In order to hoax it, they would have had to literally kill someone in the exact fashion of Christ 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, that's an argument. I've heard that argument. I'm not convinced that we have such massive insight into the chemistry of post-mortem blood 2,000 years down the line. I would have to review the details of the claim. Something tells me that there's something not solid in that line of argument. And also, let's not forget that it could be a shroud that has wrapped anyone else. And since deaths in humans are relatively similar, there can be such a thing as a a differential where a single spot tends to be post-mortem blood, and the general spots around tend to be pre-mortem blood. So it's like, this is probably the way in which most humans die who are victimized or who are in war or who are in various violent situations. They bleed some before their death, and then they bleed much at a single spot after their death if there's some kind of tissue accumulation. So I don't think it's that rare that the idea of a single spot of post-mortem blood versus a more spread out pattern of pre-mortem blood. That might be actually the most common fact of human death. Serb Tusky, but you know, I still don't reject the Shroud of Turin truth. I'm open to it, but not convinced, not fully convinced. Sardubsky says, Jeff, what percentage of the book White People Food has been written? I aim for a 300-page book. I have 200 pages, well-written with images and all. So I would say I'm two-thirds of the way. And what's mostly missing is main meal at this point. I've been doing a lot of the accessory stuff. Now, main meal, I have a very complete book right now on pots, casseroles and all, pies. I need to get to the plated meat section. That is the biggest thing that is missing. Otherwise, I am extremely large cover on breakfast. The breakfast and the tactical guides are very, very solid. Breakfast, fries, techniques, fries research. I've done enormous amounts of research. I'm very proud of the fries part. It's as much knowledge as you can ever get, I think, in a cookbook. I have never seen a cookbook that actually takes the time to say, here's 1,000 ways in which you could cook fries. Here's what it leads to. And here's therefore the branch of decisions you have to make. And it's down to the looks of the fries. It's like, I can show you how to get the exact color of fries you need and how to pair it with the exact taste you need. You can make choices across 3 or 4 main branches of the tree. And it's like, okay, you want to get to a dark brown fry that is still good, not overcooked? Here's how you do it. You want to get into a fry that has a surface umami taste with beef broth? Here's how to do it. You want to keep the beef broth aspect, umami taste of your fry while keeping it golden? Here are the chemicals. And it's down to, okay, so now you're going to put chicken broth on the surface of your fry, let it dry for 2 hours, but the chicken broth causes browning, so your fry is not golden anymore. How do you solve this? Well, mix with white vinegar. Now you got a white vinegary contour that lowers the pH of the chicken broth, and your fry is golden, and it still tastes chicken broth. The amount of stuff I've discovered is insane. The pH of your contour solution changes the goldening pattern. I've established this theoretically with Grok first, and then I ran all of the tests, all of the combination, 20 different attempts, all of the substance. Bro, I remember these days of fries research. Those were Anton's days. I was waking up early. I was lining up little pots of all combination of the substance. So beef broth, egg whites meat mixed with chicken broth, egg white mixed with chicken broth and vinegar, vinegar plus malt vinegar plus beef broth. I've made the combinations and I achieved full knowledge of the fry. This is the kind of stuff you're going to get, and all of it pictured so that you're going to get. I'm also very proud in white people food of the brown sauce section. You're going to learn how to make about 70 types of different brown sauces, all of them with variations into them. So down the line, you could combine this into perhaps 10,000 different paths for your brown sauce. And all of the pictures to get there, all of the steps. I don't know of a cookbooks. Normally, they just say, here's how to make the brown sauce. One recipe. That is not white people food. White people food is about the systematization of a tactical system for attacking your culinary needs tactically. So much stronger. I can't wait. I can't wait for you guys to see this. Now, it's a cookbook that will generate extreme controversy. It's not going to be... People are going to complain. People are going to complain for all sorts of reasons. But in my view, it's the best cookbook. And I always end up with this problem that what I consider to be good and complete is very often not what is pleasing for the normie to hear. So it's not going to be a cookbook for normies. It's going to be like, if you're a weirdo like me and you want to know the truth, if you want to follow JF down the rabbit hole, that's going to be a book for you. So Douglas McGregor reporting, American armored vehicles headed to the Iranian border via Kurdistan. If that's true, bad news, because it means Trump is positioning for ground invasion. Extremely bad news. And I was asking to Grok, Grok, is it realistic to think that the Kurdish forces are going to handle the Iran war for us? And Grok is like, no, they couldn't even handle the Iraq war alone. No way they can be a meaningful force. They can only be allies to an existing American ground force. Elder says, I'm not a fan of unlocking quality cooking techniques, though, over quantization to grant access to hipsters. Look how they destroyed brewing. Oh, yeah, the brewing world has been quite disappointing. It's true that in the hipster brewing domain, there's been a lot of spawning. A lot of new stuff that has all been declinations of existing stuff. And these fucking IPAs, bros, they are fucking annoying. But in the end, quality has been dropped behind. Because still, as of today, the best way to brew a beer is still a Belgium style triple fermentation, just strong beer. And none of your little crazy tricks of adding, what do they call it? The houblon. I know the word in French, but hops. None of your additions of hops are interesting compared to this. The actual beautiful way to brew a beer is triple fermentation, La Fin du Monde, Unibrew, any of the triple fermented beers of Belgium, of the European world in general. That's how you reach the peak. high alcohol content, super developed taste. And then we have all of these little companies, these breweries that have locally spawned in the US and in places like Canada, where it's like, okay, you're going to get to their place. They're going to sell their local beer that they produce in their big cisterns. But it sucks. It's either you went in the too much hop direction to give a strong taste a la IPA, or even they tried to rename it American Pale Ale, APA. That will do it. And it's like, bro, you're reusing a technique that was used because sending our beer to India was just so long that we stacked so much hops in there to ensure that the bacteria weren't interested in the beer. Now you're making me taste that antibacterial strategy in 2026, and you claim it's some sort of refined taste. Or they will go the fruity route and they will mix with various fruity additions. All of it sucks. And all of it is giving the illusion that, oh, well, you're drinking local. It's made right here in the cistern that's in front of you. But you can't drink local and drink quality simply because the know-how of creating exceptional beer cannot exist everywhere. We're not close to it being spreadable and diversifiable everywhere. We're not close to having one person per city in the US who knows enough about beer brewing to do that. In fact, there's probably 5 to 10 people who actually master beer brewing properly. And the only path you have is import, to find these 5 to 10 people on planet Earth and bring their beer in. The people who are attempting to make their little craft local beer, they don't have the know-how. Sadie Edward says, all craft beers are overhopped. Swill. Yes, absolutely. All right. Anonymous X users are reporting their full names are being Googled in Israel after they criticized its war crimes. Many link it to X's use of Authentics ID verification software, an Israeli company founded and staffed by ex-Israeli spies. This is one of the most ongoing worries that I have, which is that the Elon Musk purchase of X was ultimately to isolate and label dissent, to give all of the information to Israel so that when Israel goes into bloodthirsty mode and wants to abolish one of their enemies, they can then come back and know who to harass, whose lives you can mess with, so that you get less of their public commentary. That seems to be basically what's happening. Basically, Elon allowed the flooding in of pro-Israel bots, allowed the pursuit of any anonymous account by revealing their identity to Authentics. It allows the whole Mossad networks to know who are the opponents of the war. You harass them, and now what do you have rising? The official pro-Israeli voices, simply because the others are tired of being attacked and harassed. The bots are asymmetrically enforced, where the bots that favor the war are let to exist, whereas the bots that don't are banned or discredited by the inaccuracy of their information and the community notes. This seems to be what we have here, that Twitter is still, despite years of trying to improve it is still the machine of psychological warfare for the purpose of actual warfare. That really sucks. I don't know how we fix this. House expands Medicaid fraud probe to 10 states to combat rampant waste. New York and California are on notice. Bro, there is so much circulation of federal funds to these leftist states. This is a whole scam. These leftist states are maintaining their whole system by federal funding. They're making up numbers so they get more federal funding. Medicaid fraud. This needs to be investigated. But in the end, any amount of money you give to people for free, it will generate an interest for lying and corruption. And the Democrats are just the ones who do it better. They're just the ones who are like, all right, this is infinite money. We're going to mine it. You have to have respect for the Democrats for this. Because when you think about it, these infinite money flows going to daycares from the federal government and people in the need and single moms, the Democrats are very good at draining it. And in a way, you are stupid, the Republican states. They are stupid not to drain it. It's just that at some point, your honor and your desire for truth comes to be a handicap, a boulder to carry. And us conservatives and right-wingers in general and principled artists, we suffer from the fact that we can't lie. We are willing not to lie at our detriment. We are willing to stick to the truth at our detriment. Probably something we learned from the Bible in a way, because Jesus went so much after everything and, you know, flipped the tables and the temple and criticized the traditions of his time. And in a way, we're a little too much like Jesus. That's why the Democrats beat us. We're a little too much like Jesus. Matt Bell says, JF, mammals have hydrochloric acid to digest their foods. Go with me. If we could breed herring that have acetic acid for digestion, that permeates their body upon death, self-pickling herring. Well, you've been talking to me about this in the other show. But no, that wouldn't work. The stomach, by the way, exists to contain all of this acidity into a pouch, literally. If you were to permeate your own body with the acid that is present in your stomach, you would instantly die. The reason the stomach is such a sealed container is precisely because the operation of digestion is ultimately incompatible with life. That is what it is. That is why animals who swallow their prey alive, these preys are dead once in the stomach because they are acidified and they die. So there's no way you would have acetic vinegar substances across the whole herring while he's alive. There wouldn't be enough, because if there was enough, the herring would be dead. See, vinegar is a very, very harsh chemical, and it's incompatible with life. You can't have a herring that will live at this pH, simply. You can't have cells that will live at this pH. You would have to rebuild a herring from these specialized bacteria that are somehow capable of surviving acidity. Now, good luck doing this. Start from a bacteria that can handle acidity, grow it in a very acid environment while also favoring the evolutionary forces to get to a herring. Now maybe you'd get something there. Maybe you'd have an alternative form of herring that can handle high acidity. But yeah, the stomach is a sealed pouch. It's a sealed pouch of nature. It's the Ziploc bag of God. And that is why cheese has been invented first by having it aged in stomachs. So the invention of cheese civilizationally came because the stomach happened to be a nice container, right? So it's sealed, it's very watertight. And so the idea was, well, it's a container, so we can put water in it. And so it was a container for many things first in our desertic lives in and around Egypt for 4,000 years and more. Now, the stomachs were therefore bags. The freshest you were using your stomach of an animal for as a bag, the less it had chance to dry. So it wasn't leathery from the start. I mean, if you were letting it dry for months, it was dry, and then it was just literally a leather bag, basically, a very resistant, watertight skin. Stomach skin, not outside skin. And eventually someone put milk in the Ziploc bag. And the Ziploc bag wasn't fully dried, so it was still a living stomach. And therefore, it still had traces of renine, which is the enzyme that digests the molecules in milk that makes it solid. So basically, the way I see milk as a solution is milk is a liquid that hides a solid. So basically, what life had to solve when determining how will I feed children and mammals, what evolution found is I can package proteins and fat, wrap them in a protein that is hydrophilic. So now it floats in the liquid. So milk is liquid. But everyone knows that what is butter made from? Butter is made from milk. Well, that means there's something solid hiding in the liquid of the milk. And the secret to this is, yes, basically milk is the way mammals have found to liquefy fat through molecular enzyme structure that is hydrophilic. So you have all of this energy hidden in milk because that's what evolution needed to do. It needed a liquid transfer medium that gets you the best energy, therefore that is ultimately formed of solids, but that is circulating enough that it can be ejected into the mouth of the baby at the right time. So the solution was the liquefaction of fat and protein ensured by milk production in mammals. Now, as it so happens, the person who stored milk into a too fresh Ziploc bag stomach in desertic life about 3,000 to 7,000 years ago, I don't know exactly when, ended up discovering accidentally what nature is already undoing, which is nature is making sure to transfer this packaged solid into actual solid when you drink milk. When you're a baby drinking milk, by 1 minute or 2 minutes, the milk is in your stomach. 2 minutes in, the milk has already curded, which is why if a baby vomits, there's cheese curds in the vomit. Why? Because the stomach has already started the process of curding the milk, of transferring back all of that energy that was hidden and spread and diluted through the milk into solid blocks of the fat that the milk is meant to carry in liquid form. So as the first human to discover cheese did, he stored milk into a stomach as a bag first, but then realized, whoa, that transforms the milk into solid pieces. And the solid pieces are aging inside as I carry it. And it gets even better because now the cheese gets populated by bacteria. So now you have all of the steps of the modern way of making cheese have actually been actualized by this discovery, by the fact that stomach pouches were good bags. But they were better bags than people could even think. They also had rhinine, which is meant to digest the cheese, lipaz, which is meant to make it buttery and flowy in the way that you have in modern brie cheese. All of these things are produced naturally by the stomach because the stomach is a milk transformer. It transforms the stomach of mammals is built specifically, especially at young age and babies, to transform the milk from its liquid form into its curded form. That was intense. User says, GXP2V, super coronavirus, 100% fatal transgenic mice. Please read about it. Super COVID preprint study. Don't tell me we're into another cycle of fear-mongering around COVID. Holy shit. Super COVID preprint study. But I'm getting no result. Let's try another search engine. Yeah, preprint lab. I mean, they get these things sponsored literally to scare people. Well, that seems to be a 2024 preprint. So yeah, it already is pretty late. Lethal infection of human ACE2 transgenic mice caused by SARS-CoV-2 related pangolin coronavirus GXP2V. So that's been done in 2024, my friend. You are on a very late news. This was done to justify the last wave of fear mongering. I'm not scared about these viruses. Of course, I would encourage labs to stop creating these creature from hell. Like, it's really not a good idea, and it might kill a lot of people. But down the line, I am confident that viruses will not kill humanity. That we will survive, that viruses kill the weak, but that they never kill the whole of humanity. I believe we will survive any challenge thrown at us until the revolutionary phenotype. That's it for tonight, boys. I'll try to be here tomorrow. I see no reason why I shouldn't be, so see you all tomorrow if I'm in shape. Bye-bye.